thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Well, I think...
Here's John Williams.
We already did. If you include that insightful chatter about the All-Star game as a big thought, maybe you already had that one. You know, we'll come up with something else between now and 3. We're on Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. On social media, WGN King John, search me there. We put up a daily web poll question. It's called the News Click. You get to vote with your mouse on a whole host of topics. Yesterday, we asked you about Home Run Derby. Most of you, 88%, said Kyle Schwarber got robbed in the Home Run Derby. Today, the question is about... what's the question about today? We just put it up, Elif. It was about...
It was about MGM Resorts and the lawsuit that they put against the victims of the Las Vegas shooting.
We're asking you if you think MGM is responsible for the shooting of those people in the crowd. We'll talk more about that a little later on. You can go to WGNradio.com or like me on Facebook. You'll find the News Click there. I'm WGN King John. I'm looking at CNN right now and I see a commercial. So evidently the White House press briefing has not started. Eric, you and Steve and Judy, I know in the newsroom, are monitoring this as well. So we'll see when we see. But Steve, I don't think that thing has started yet. And normally the White House press briefings begin with the press secretary saying things like the president today will meet with such and such and he's going to do a ceremonial this. And, you know, it's just a bunch of announcements. And then the Q&A starts. That's the part we want to listen in on. This from money.cnn.com this morning. The White House has held only 3 on-camera briefings in the last 30 days. According to the administration's own records on whitehouse.gov, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders' most recent briefing was July 2nd. That was more than 2 weeks ago. Since that time, the EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, has resigned. Bill Shine, he formerly of Fox News, has started working as Trump's new communications chief. Trump has nominated a new Supreme Court justice. He's assailed America's alliances and sidled up to the Russian President Vladimir Putin. And the administration has struggled to reunite parents and children who are separated at the southern border. So there's a lot for the press corps to ask about. Sanders did not respond to a request to comment about the press briefing drought. But there will be a briefing on Wednesday, that would be today, not long after this story was originally published. The White House added a 2 p.m. Eastern time briefing to the schedule. It's 1:12. So they are so Sarah is going to stand up there today, and this should be super duper unproductive. But the question will be, I mean, the first question I think today, that is, in the last couple of hours, has to be, does the White House think, does America's government think that the Russians continue to meddle in our election process? The administration says yes. The president has said no. So where are we? Do we have an answer to the question, are the Russians still messing with our election process? And again, the everybody but the president says yes, but the president says no.
That's not what the president meant to say.
There's a very funny tweet by Mark Jacobs, who I follow on Twitter. I don't know that he's out there that often, but he had put a pretty funny one yesterday. It said, Bill Shakespeare, quote, a rose by any other name wouldn't smell as sweet, close quotes, P.S., there's no collusion. So if you... Everybody's now getting on the "that's not what I meant" bus. We'll wait for Sarah Sanders here for a second. You know the problem with all of this is, and maybe, Elif, this would be a good time for us just to introduce a new sponsor. Elif, can you play the new commercial and we'll just get it out of the way? This hour of the John Williams Show is sponsored by Eurelium Life 9000.
Yesterday, I didn't feel too well. My heart was racing. I was dizzy. Everyone was talking about what the president said.
Every day, more and more Americans are suffering from politosis, an illness caused by too much political talk.
At first, I thought it was serveritis.
That's headaches due to Hillary Clinton.
Then I thought it was Bernie Sanderia.
That comes from stressing over socialism.
Or maybe it was just a good old case of Putin.
Upset stomach due to you-know-who.
But then my doctor said all these symptoms could only mean one thing. Polytosis.
Symptoms of polytosis include itchy eyes, runny nose, scaly skin, constipation, consternation, and erections that last over 4 hours.
I didn't have that.
Now's the time to give Urillium Life 9000 a try.
I took two Urillium Life 9000s in the morning, and by lunch I was calm, clean, and playing the piano. Which is weird because I don't know how to play the piano.
Ask your doctor if Urillium Life 9000 is right for you. Don't take Urillium if you have high blood pressure, low systolic pressure, or know anyone named Melvin.
Look at me. I'm walking in a park.
Read and follow label directions.
Want to talk politics now? I don't care. I just had a foot-long Urillium Life 9000 hoagie.
The John Williams Show is sponsored by Urillium Life 9000. All for that.
Sounds like a magic pill.
You want some of that now, don't you? Everybody's talking politics. You pop a couple of Urillium Life 9000s.
I've always wanted to play the piano.
And as a side effect, you'll know how to play the piano. Okay, still waiting for Sarah Sanders to speak. She should be up and running any moment now.
Don't you feel like the president constantly is probably having that conversation of what I meant to say?
Yeah.
I feel like he's been in that predicament, mostly with his wife.
I cannot imagine what his conversations with her are like.
I said I wouldn't be home by midnight.
I said I didn't have an affair with the stripper. I don't know.
Did I say did?
I cannot imagine what his conversations are like with Melania. I would my take on that is that these days they are all very brief and they're perfunctory.
With a lot of double negatives.
No, seriously, though. I think that a conversation between the president and the first lady, A, they're super busy. And my guess is that it's more like, I will be here then. Did you talk to the staff about this? Remember, Barron's birthday is Thursday. We want to make sure that we have a private party for him. Stuff like that. But the kind of conversations husbands and wives have are probably difficult for a first couple to have under the best of circumstances. It was probably difficult for Bush 43 or the Obamas to have. The Clintons, I don't think, were ever capable of what we would describe as a normal conversation. But I would imagine that for any of them to find time and relax and just go, hey, what do you think of the home run derby? Or can you believe? Or, hey, are you guys watching that Billions? Isn't that awesome? I don't think first couples even have the opportunity for that. But in the case of the Trumps, I just would imagine that it's all business, that it's not a lollygagging sort of lazy looking at the paper going, huh, look at this, the way you might have with your spouse or loved one in the morning. I just don't see that happening. By the way, if you look at famous Shakespeare quotes, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. He meant to say wouldn't. To be or not to be, that is the question. I literally Googled this today. To be or not to be, that is the question. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Now is the winter of our... Anyone? Anyone?
Content.
Okay. Content. Ding, 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 ding. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have...
greatness...
bestowed upon them.
Taken from them.
Thrust upon them. I'm going to give Violetta credit.
Are we supposed to do the real quote? I'm sorry. I was trying to do the opposite.
No, just show off and see if you can get them right.
Okay.
Frailty, thy name is...
Steve Bertrand.
Woman. The lady doth...
I knew that one.
The lady doth...
protest too much.
And then for bonus points, the next word in that quote is methinks. How about
therefore
this
me am.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. Nobody was going to get that one, but isn't that wonderful? Okay, finish this one. Beware.
The Ides of March.
Get thee.
To a nunnery.
To thine own.
Self be true.
All that glisters.
Is not gold.
Friends, Romans, countrymen.
Lend me your ears.
Keep going.
Ears. That's all I've got.
I come to bury Caesar.
Oh. Not to praise him.
Shall I compare thee.
To a summer's day.
Neither a borrower.
Nor lender be.
For loan oft loses both itself and friend. And off. That's not much of a lead up, is it?
To the pub.
I am really upset because I studied English as my major.
How are you doing on this?
Not well at all.
Bertrand's killing it.
He is. I know.
Steve's pretty well read. Off with
his head.
His head. Ding, 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 ding.
I was really scared to say that, but I knew it.
All right, last one. What light through
yonder
window breaks?
There you go, kids.
Yeah, but Steve says it with such ease, as if he just read, as if he just was reading and flipped to the page.
We did not cheat. We did not cheat.
No. I just think he reads it with ease.
Okay, I'm not going to kill any more time here waiting for Sarah Huckabee Sanders to address the press.
Is that what we were doing?
Yeah, that's what this is. This is me just tap dancing. I wanted to drop in on that, and we have had the opportunity, but she is not doing it. As soon as she does, we will join her addressing the press corps. Methinks she has a lot to speak about today. What are we listening to here, Ella?
Tame Impala.
Tame Impala.
They're going to be at Pitchfork this weekend.
That's Tame Impala. Like, hey, look at that Impala. It's not very aggressive. A Tame Impala.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pitchfork's lineup announced, and they're going to be there. Huh? You're pretty excited for Tame Impala?
I would be if I was going.
Well, there's that. By the way, we have a celebrity in our studio today, and it's a person whose face has never intentionally, publicly been seen, though he has been a media player in this city for 30 years.
I've been sharing elevators with this guy for years, had no idea.
You didn't know who he was.
Would have been nicer.
Phil Vitel, the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Phil.
How you doing, John?
You visit our studio regularly.
I do.
You do come in, since we're streamed live on the internet, video. We put a little cardboard thing in front of the cameras.
Very considerate of you.
Today we don't do that.
You don't need to do that.
There's your picture on the front page of the food section of the
Tribune. Food section. And a very old picture of me on the front page of the main section.
You look great in the paper today.
Thank you. Well, they were kind enough to assign a Pulitzer Prize winning photographer to this shoot. So, which made me more nervous because if the picture looked bad, it's kind of on me now.
Yeah, right. And then you wrote a first-person piece about your coming out, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What's this all about?
Well, I've been, after this many years doing the job, I've been a critic since 1989. Inevitably, people know who I am or figure out who I am, and you try to keep that number as low as possible. And I've come to the realization that the number is much higher than I'd like it to be. And it started to be, in my mind, a fairness issue. That the smart and clever operators were figuring out who I was, and that was giving them an advantage that the smaller operators perhaps did not have. So this was my effort to, one, level the playing field, to acknowledge the inevitable, acknowledge the reality, and three, maybe have a little fun with it.
So in your piece, you wrote, in perhaps the most anticlimactic Chicago moment since Geraldo Rivera pried open Al Capone's vault. I forgot that was in Chicago, but of course it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing my face to the world for the first time in nearly 30 years. Funny, you wrote. I thought I'd be taller.
That was the plan. That was always the plan.
Since 1989, the Chicago Tribune restaurant critic, which means... I mean, you've been on camera before. You've done TV stuff before. When you guys judge the holiday bake-off thing, the cookie contest, you're on video.
No, they left me off the video for that.
Well, but I mean, you participate in that, don't you?
But they left me...
But
they,
we never see you.
Right. Oh. I've been on WGN TV once for Valentine's Day, and they superimposed a bunch of heart balloons over my face. And I did it that way, and I've done a few other appearances where they put me behind a scrim. So I've been on TV, quote-unquote, but not like you see my face. And
I like the logic of making it fairer to smaller operators or first-time restaurants whose maybe staff doesn't know you because it's the first time you've been to their restaurant,
right, say.
I never thought about it in those terms. Do you feel like a little bit of a weight is off your shoulders now because you don't have to wonder or worry, do they know who I am or not?
No, because I'm waiting to see how that plays out. I'm hoping that I'm hoping that I'm not introduced at the front door like a royal ball.
Tribune's here.
Exactly.
The guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Earl of Sandwich, Mr. Phil Vitale is in the room. Something like that. Yeah, I'm hoping to avoid that, but I'm just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. It's one way or another, it's done. You can't. This is a pool you can't dip your toe into. You just jump, and then you see how deep the water is and how cold it is.
Any restaurants you're looking forward to reviewing this week or next? Are there some places that are on your mind?
There's a very cute place up in Andersonville called Passerotto, and that's Italian for little sparrow. But despite that, this is a restaurant run by a Korean-American woman, and it is largely Korean food with the occasional nod. It's a very personal kind of cuisine when she is mixing the food that her parents made and her interpretations of growing up in America.
Phil Vitale's in our studio, the now visible restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Sarah Sanders is now addressed the podium. I presume this is the announcement portion of her statement, so let's listen in on that. If it is, we'll join her when she starts to take questions from the media. But, Steve, in the newsroom,
sounds like she is taking questions now, John.
That no, Russia is not doing anything to interfere or meddle in the 2018 election.
You had a chance to speak with the president after those comments, and the president said thank you very much and was saying no to answering questions. The president and his administration are working very hard to make sure that Russia is unable to meddle in our elections, as they have done in the past and as we have stated.
Sarah, some Democrats on Capitol Hill now are saying that they want to drag the translator who was in the room with the president and Vladimir Putin before congressional committees to find out exactly what was said in their private meeting. Is that something that the White House would ever support?
That's something that would go through the State Department. Mike?
The list of
Sarah Sanders and company in the White House press briefing room. Okay, so there's a big chunk of that. The newsroom continues to monitor it, and we will bring you any of the details that come forward as Steve sees fit later in the show. We're coming up on his next newscast. It's 1:56 on WGN. By the way, Phil Vitale normally joins us weekdays at this time and started to. Sarah Sanders got in the way.
Thanks, Sarah.
Especially on this, your big day.
It's all about me, really.
You'll get the Chicago Tribune. You'll be able to see his picture for the first time and a story about how he does what he does. We always appreciate you coming into our studio, too. Thanks for saying hi.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Phil Vitale.
Big thoughts.
There it is.
So you don't have to.
There we go.
Here's John Williams.
Yeah, that's me. Busy. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. We're here until 3 o'clock. Remember, you can hear me Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 12 noon on social media, WGN King John. Don't miss the Mincing Rascals podcast. It's been judged this year to be the best podcast from Chicago, The Mincing Rascals. Steve Bertrand and I, sometimes Justin Kaufman and Patty Vasquez, all from WGN Radio, and some of our friends from the Chicago Tribune talk on Thursdays. We post the podcast Thursday afternoon, and it's usually relevant all week. Sometimes, though, it's relevant for just about 10 minutes.
Before we leave the studio, it's irrelevant sometimes.
Well, that's how fast the world changes, and that's why we now start each podcast with me saying, today is Thursday, it is July, whatever it's going to be this week, and then I always give the time. It's usually 11:11 in the morning when we start, when you get done with your 11 o'clock newscast. That timestamp is relevant, because if you're listening to it hours later, something may have changed. And we just want you to know that at that time, we didn't know what we couldn't know. Was there much more to be known from the Sarah Sanders press briefing today?
I didn't hear too much, John. You know, I wasn't able to listen to every word, but I didn't hear too much. I'm sorry. I keep trying to find the audio of the president saying no. You know, and it might be that they just weren't recording at that moment or it's not up, but I have a couple of different sources we usually check. And
when asked if the Russians are still meddling?
Still meddling, yeah. He was asked, are the Russians still meddling? And he said no, which would be a big deal. But then Sarah Sanders says no, he was saying no to questions. But then he took questions, I believe, afterwards, so I don't know about that.
Yeah, right. Well, that contradicts what his staff said, and so then Sarah Sanders was there to put a bow on it, and she made this point, which was somewhere in the middle, if you ask me. She said, well, they're not meddling now because we're not in the middle of an election cycle right now. This is obviously an off year. This will be a, say, mid-year. This is the midterm. So
well,
they
will be. There are Coates is saying that they are meddling and they will be meddling in the midterms. I think what Sarah Sanders was saying was that we're not voting today, so they're not meddling now.
You know, I don't know how meddling works, never having meddled, but it would seem to me like that would be kind of a 24/7 operation. I mean, you'd be busy. It's sort of like if you're a store, are you selling toys? Yeah, but we really sell them at Christmas. But yeah, we're a toy store. If you are a Russian...
Or like this, John, if you run a toy store and someone asks you at midnight, are you selling toys? You're like, well, no, we're closed. We're not selling now.
Right.
But bigger picture, of course, you're selling toys.
Well... Yeah, and you're training toys. Let's be very specific about it. Imagine you're those fat people in the basement in Russia that the president likes to talk about. I got the feeling that with the Senate election coming up in November and another and Donald Trump has been campaigning since the day after he won anyway, it would seem to me like if you were going to try and manipulate an election again, you would be doing it right now. Yeah, obviously, you would be doing it more maybe in 2020, but... I think 2018 is a pretty relevant time to be doing it as well, or 2019. When's the next election? Do we know? Has that been printed? Do we know?
I think it's coming up later this year.
Yeah. All right. So that's the latest on that. And she was ready for the why weren't you tougher on Russia thing. You know, as she was going through her answer, I was thinking of what Violetta said yesterday. And then you started screaming at Violetta. Do you remember that?
I did not. No, even my mother called and said I sounded mad on the air.
I know. I love that story. I just didn't notice because you always sound mad to me.
She said it would be hard for the president to speak up to Putin. And I said, no, he ran for the job.
I asked the question, do you think it would be hard to speak up to Putin standing right next to him?
And then you said what, Steve?
I'm not sure that was the question, but.
Are you sure she didn't say, don't you think it would be hard?
Do you think it would be hard?
It's not hard. You ran for a hard job. You won a hard job.
Yeah.
And so you do hard things. Yeah. You don't not do them because it's awkward for you.
Okay, but when Sarah Sanders was asked about that very issue today, they said, why didn't he call him out? If you guys are bragging about how you've been tough on Russia, we've been tough on Russia. You notice she had a very detailed... prepared answer about how hard we've been on Russia.
Yeah, but and a lot of that's true. I mean, that's what a lot of people who watch this point out, that the president's comments and rhetoric doesn't match what his administration is doing in many ways. In many ways, the administration is acting toughly, in a tough way, against Russia, but the president's words don't match those actions.
Okay, so to
but could that be strategic? I mean, could it be...
No, it can't be... Oh, sorry.
Of course. I mean, the president could be seeming nice to his face, and then...
You guys, that's what Sarah Sanders said today. She said she reads this litany of things that we've done to bust Russia's chops. Then she says, but while he is standing there, it's better that we try and forge a relationship where we get along. She didn't... I so wanted her to say, as our kids would say, well, it would be so awkward... if we had called him out for that stuff while he's standing right there. But we all know that we are hard on Russia, and while the guy's standing there, and we're trying to get along, remember, and they held the nuclear war threat over us. That is, if we don't get along with these people, then we're going to have a nuclear war.
Well, the president said that in a tweet this morning, that if you don't want him to like Putin, you want war.
Right. And I'm sorry. Listen, I think that... For instance, at the press briefing, he also said that Barack Obama said that the greatest threat to the world is global warming. I disagree with that 5,000%. I think it's the nuclear. And to be honest with you, as serious as the nuclear is to me, too, if you ask me what's more important, what's more critical right now, I would say, of course, it's the environment. The consequences of that are long term and irrevocable.
Can we go back? So the president says over and over again that Vladimir Putin recognizes strength, right? He responds to strength. So Sarah Sanders' answer doesn't jibe with the president's characterization
that
Vladimir Putin...
You can't just lay out all your cards.
Just a sec, V. Because he stood next to Vladimir Putin and he did not exude strength. He did not say, we know you did this to us and you need to stop. That would have been the strong thing to say. He said... Why would they or why wouldn't they? That was not strength. So Sanders' answer and the president's responses don't match up in that way.
Donald Trump is certainly capable of mocking people that are critical of him, right? His foes. If it's a New York Times reporter who has a physical condition, or if it's a woman, or if it's, just think about all of the nicknames and the terrible things he said about people that he doesn't like. And he said it in front of them at debates, and he said it in front of them at press conferences, and he doesn't seem to have a filter about that sort of thing, or at least any hesitancy to do it. If it were only the optics, I just think it would have been such a home run for him. Literally, we are not talking about this today. If when Vladimir Putin is standing there, he had turned to him and said, you know, tear down that wall. If he had taken off his shoe and pounded it on the podium. If he had done something remarkable and memorable. And it wouldn't have had to be a great grandstand show. But it could have been something. It could have been anything. And instead, he did the opposite. He said, well, he spoke forcefully. What am I going to do? Huh? I mean, he went the exact opposite direction. It was such low-hanging fruit. You could have just busted him right there. And you don't have to push him down. You don't have to spit on him. But you could have done something. In fact, it's kind of remarkable that they didn't have that sort of planted. The same way Sarah Sanders knew that she was going to have to demonstrate how tough we are on Russia, why didn't they know that standing there, he's going to have to talk a little bit about being tough on Russia or them meddling in the election? Why didn't they have a prepared response? And instead, they left to his own wiles, the president went the other way. That makes no sense to me either.
Here's one other thing that I noticed, too. It's that he said that when he was reading the script, it was written wrong or he read it wrong. But that implies that he doesn't have his own opinion, doesn't it, on the interference having happened?
He said, let's see, because when he was reading from a script when he went to correct it. But it was a live, it was an ad lib the first time when he said, I don't see why Russia would have done it. That was live. The correction was scripted.
Okay.
And that's when he said wouldn't. And it's kind of funny, too, because when President Trump speaks from a script, you know, you almost believe that that's somebody else.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think it would imply that he doesn't have his own opinion on it.
But all presidents have spoke from scripts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a fair comparison, in my opinion.
But I think we're left sitting here today wondering, all right, so what is it? What does Donald Trump really think? One day he said would. One day he said he would. And you know, the other thing is that this whole wouldn't thing is kind of a pickled herring anyway. I mean that this way. That it wasn't just that single word that he said, which characterized how he feels about Russia and about the meddling and about the U.S. Justice Department. He spoke for 2.5 minutes in that particular answer. We played it twice yesterday. And I know that the why would they stands out, but it wasn't the only thing he said. He's got to walk back a lot more than just a missing contraction for all of that to go away. In fact, did you do this today? Did you kind of just go, did you just do a kind of a shake your head? Like, I cannot believe how obvious and juvenile this retraction is, but that's what we're left with. And I'll tell you what, if they want us to believe that, then I think at best, you're confused. The best case scenario is now you don't know what they think. Sarah Sanders had the first White House press briefing since I believe July 2nd today. She attempted to address some of these issues. We'll wrap this up by my just sort of putting it in this perspective. This was from CNN before the press briefing today. The White House has held only 3 on-camera briefings in the past 30 days, so make it 4 in 31 days now. According to WhiteHouse.gov, Sarah Sanders' most recent briefing was July 2nd. Since then, and these are some of the things I'd hoped that we'd hear about, we didn't hear about all of these at the press briefing today. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has resigned. That seems like a long time ago. She has not addressed the country about that since. Bill Shine started working as the new communications chief. A new Supreme Court justice has been nominated. And then you have the whole NATO thing and the Vladdy Putin thing from yesterday and the day before as well. Well, at least they stood up to the microphone. John, why didn't Obama do anything to stop the meddling? As I remember, he denied the Russians were able to interfere. And this from 847. As to the Trump-Putin world, John, and the immortal words of Vito Corleone,
My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room. He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
That's what you had there.
Okay, go back to that. The text about Obama is incorrect.
Say what you want to say.
Well, can you read it again? Do you have it in front of you? I know you just tossed it, but...
Here it is, Steve. It says, hey, John, why didn't Obama do anything to stop the meddling? As I remember, he denied the Russians were able to interfere.
See, I don't believe he did deny the Russians were able to interfere. There are a lot of critics of him that said he should have done more. He did do some things. He did tell him to his face to cut it out. Clearly, it wasn't enough. But he did do things, and I don't think he ever said that they weren't able to meddle.
There's a video out there which I haven't heard, but I saw, and I don't know what I was looking at. I got distracted, but anyway, I didn't watch it all the way through. Maybe Elif can find it for us. All right, Elif, here's your assignment. There's a video out there of Barack Obama saying something to the effect of, it would be impossible for the Russians to interfere in our election. And I don't know the context of it, and I didn't listen to it, but I just saw that as a post that somebody had out there. You know, the thing, this is, obviously, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, so you can judge what I'm about to say any way you want. But I am honestly not so interested in what Barack Obama failed to do or what Hillary Clinton failed to do or what she did. I'm interested in what's happening now and who's the president now and what's happening going forward. And so I'll concede a lot of Barack Obama was bad, Hillary Clinton was bad points, even if I don't believe them, just to get that argument off the table, because I just don't think it's that important.
I think they thought she was going to win. So he didn't feel he needed to do something, which was a terrible mistake.
Say that again.
I think the feeling in the White House was that Hillary Clinton was going to win.
In Barack Obama's White House.
Right. And so for them to come out and really push this thing about Trump and Russia would have stirred the waters in a way that they didn't need. They didn't need to worry about it too much because Hillary was going to win anyway, and it wouldn't have an impact in the long run.
Well, even if you were trying to be neutral about it, ask James Comey how difficult it was to figure out what to do and what to say. I mean, isn't that the crux of Comey's conundrum? Comey didn't know if he should say something about it, which would seem to favor one candidate or influence the election in any way at all. But then he felt like he should, and then more evidence came available. So then he said, well, now we've got to announce that.
Well, but that's going back to the reopening the email, right? That's what you're talking about? Yeah. They never did, even though they were investigating the Trump campaign in Russia during the campaign. No one ever revealed that.
Yeah.
Which is, again, one of the reasons why the Strzok argument is a weak one, because if he really wanted to doom Trump, he knew that investigation was underway. He could have easily leaked it and had it out and hurt Trump. They didn't do that.
Hello, John. Did Trump and Putin actually meet alone for 90 minutes? Other than translators, were any other staff members there from each country? Our understanding is, this is all that's been said about it, there were four people in the room, the two presidents and the two translators. And Sarah Sanders was asked if Democrats, what she thought about the Democrats saying that the translators should be hauled in, was the verb that was used, which makes you wonder who is asking the question. But should we get the translators and force them to tell us what was said in the room? She said that's a question for the State Department, so she didn't bite. I don't know what you think about the ethic of that. I don't like that. I think if they set up a meeting, we should honor it.
Presidents have to be able to have private conversations.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, so absent that, I think you can judge the sort of fruit of the meeting any way you want, and that is it can't be very fruitful. We don't know what was said, and we don't trust the people that are telling us about what went on in there. So I'm not going to put much stock in what either of them say. Besides, the president himself listed the things they talked about. Remember, it's a two-hour meeting, which means 1 hour of talk. Because of the translation, everything is repeated. So you get 1 hour of actual verbiage, a half hour of which maybe came from our side and a half hour from their side. So really, we got a half hour to say some things. And here's what the president said was discussed. These are the things that Donald Trump brought up to Vladimir Putin. Nuclear, war and peace, economic, Syria, Ukraine, many other things, NATO talks, Israel, Bibi. They discussed proxy wars in Iran, radical Islam terror in ISIS. All of that in a very fruitful 90 minutes, 60 minutes. So I almost think it's a moot point what was actually said in that meeting. We'll never know. Should we haul the translators in? No, 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 no. John, he gave Putin an out to address the situation by not publicly calling him out in the meeting. Hello, John. Did they actually meet for the translators? We already read that one. Okay, so just a couple of your questions there. And a couple of questions on the phone. Let's pick up with Rakesh. You're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you?
Hey, King John, excellent show, excellent analysis of the Putin and President's meeting. But nobody has... By the way, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm thanking you for a specific reason. But why was our president thanking him in hushed tones? He said, thank you very much. Why? Well, has anybody asked the president that question? Why were you thanking Putin?
I'm sorry, when did he use hushed tones? I'm not exactly sure what you're referencing.
If you hear the audio, and I've heard it more than three or four times,
yeah.
As soon as Putin walked in, he was 1 hour late for the meeting, first of all.
Yeah.
And then President, I think, because I heard only the audio, but I think he was shaking his hand and said, thank you very much. Why was he thanking Putin?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's just a common
courtesy. There are
courtesy.
So many stories going around, King John. You're king. You got to ask the president.
Okay. Rakesh, I'm glad you're listening. It's the first person to ask me that. I'll work on the answer. I don't know. When he was meeting with Theresa May, and they were walking around at various events and functions, they did a similar sort of stand-up presser. And then there was another event they were at where they had on some nicer clothes. Maybe it was a gala or dinner or something. I don't know exactly. Maybe they were just going clubbing. But anyway, there was Trump and Theresa May. And as they were walking around, he was holding her hand. He was holding her hand. And Mary Schmeek said, she posted a tweet. And it was like, why is he holding her hand? This is a serious question. Why is he holding her hand all the time? And I don't know the answer to that. But I think his body language and his literal verbal language is almost impossible for mere mortals to interpret. I don't know why he does the things he does, or why he does them the way he does. Elif just said, hey, you got to take a break. It's 2:28. Steve's got the news. That's next on WGN. So somebody texted a little while ago, and they said, why didn't Obama do anything to stop the meddling? As I remember, he denied that Russians were able to interfere. Okay, so this is when Barack Obama was president. Obviously, the election is happening, and Donald Trump was saying that the thing is rigged. He was using that word rigged before the election, so Barack Obama was asked about it. Is it possible that the election is rigged? Now, I don't know what you think rigged means, but in my mind, rigged and meddling are, in fact, different things. Here's Barack Obama talking before the election in relation to this texter, why didn't Obama do anything to stop the meddling?
If whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, then you don't have what it takes to be in this job. But the larger point that I want to emphasize here is that there is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections, in part because they're so decentralized and the numbers of votes involved. There's no evidence that that has happened in the past, or that there are instances in which that will happen this time. And so I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
All right. So I don't know that you have to apologize for anything you said or remembered about that, Steve.
Well, it is a splitting hairs thing. I mean,
when President Obama was speaking there, I think he was talking about, is it possible that they were getting people to, you know, vote, or that the machines were somehow mistabulating? The Russians got online, hacked into our system, and were manipulating the numbers and rigging it that way. I don't sense in that statement that Barack Obama was talking about web-based meddling on places like Facebook. That's a different animal in my mind completely.
Well, but President Trump, when he said things were rigged against him, or they were rigging it against him,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't accusing a foreign government or agents or anything like that. he was accusing like the Democrats of trying to rig things against him, right? I mean, I don't remember.
I'm not sure exactly.
I don't think the whole rigging talk had to do with foreign intervention.
I don't remember it that way. It seemed to me like the rigging talk was about, is somebody able to, well, you know, maybe
from,
it was
from him. He wasn't saying the Russians are rigging it. He was talking about the people in the country who don't like him rigging it, I think. Which is
the political parties.
Which is why it was ridiculous. I mean, you know what? In the president's point is you can't change the vote total and whatever. I mean, it is a hair splitting thing. I can see how you could listen to that either way, but I don't think that's what he was saying.
King John, why is Trump able to call out our allies in front of them and the world, but he can't seem to do it against Russia? I don't have an answer to that question either. You're asking some good questions. I do not have the answers to them, and I will not. King John, if anyone kept lots of texts coming in today. I wanted to talk just for a little while today. Have you guys seen the video of this Harith Augustus shooting, the 37-year-old who on Saturday was shot by Chicago police? Have you seen the video of that, Steve? I believe you have.
Yes.
Okay. But we don't have any audio of that. There has been a lot of protesting about this video of this is from the Chicago Tribune. Fatal police shooting of a barber in the South Shore neighborhood last weekend was captured by two officers' body cameras. But the footage does not include audio of what happened at the scene, which just makes me crazy. They have the ability to get the audio. The police officers have to double tap their body cameras, and then it will record the sound as well. How that doesn't happen automatically is beyond me. Mayor Emanuel said, I think this material that the superintendent of the police department released provided the right reasons of public safety, the information, but it's not complete. That will happen in time. But here's what you see in the video. You see an officer approach Harith Augustus, and we don't know exactly why. The story in the Tribune says that they thought he was armed, and it's not clear at this time whether or not he had a concealed carry. But an officer is approaching him, and he has his wallet out as if to show his ID, or maybe he has a card that says he's allowed to carry a weapon. And then a couple of other officers kind of come around him, so he's a little bit surrounded now. And one of them reaches for his wrist. As they do that, he spins away from them and tries to run. There's a couple of vehicles that are blocking him off, so his path is not straight, and he sort of loses his balance. But as he's spinning away from them, he's now reaching back into his waistband, and he's grabbing for his weapon, and it looks like he's drawing his weapon. He's about to bring his weapon up in a shooting position. And he's shot and killed. And that's the end of the story. And there's been considerable debate about whether or not the police acted inappropriately in this case. When you watch the video, I don't know how you conclude other than the police had a reasonable expectation that they were going to get shot, and they shot first. Now, what were the cops saying to that guy? I don't know. And is there something that they could have done to keep it from escalating to that point? I always think yes. I think cops are terrible at de-escalation. They are terrible at de-escalation. So maybe there's something that could have been said or done that makes that not happen. But the guy, and I will quibble with the sort of defense for the police this way. When they play the video, when you look at the video online, when they show him spinning around and reaching back to his waist, they put it in slow motion and they freeze frame it briefly so that you're able to see exactly what maybe happened so quickly that the officers couldn't. In real time, it's like an NFL play or a play at second base. On replay, we can see what happened. But in real time, it would have maybe been impossible for them to know. Was that a gun? Was that a phone? Was it anything? I don't know. But when you slow it down, you have an advantage that maybe the officers at that time did not have, and yet they fired. So maybe that's a hair worth splitting. But at the end of the day, their guess was right. He was armed, and he was reaching for his weapon, and he was not cooperating, and they shot him. Now, there's 10 people running for mayor against Rahm Emanuel, and everybody's got an opinion about what happened here and what should have happened here. But I don't think that the police acted inappropriately. The trial date for Jason Van Dyke is set for Tuesday, September 5th. And he's the officer charged with first-degree murder in the shooting of Laquan McDonald. And I've got a feeling that that is going to be a really tense time for this city. I don't know the answer to this question. Steve, maybe you do, but do you know if Officer Van Dyke is free right now, or is he under lock and key?
Oh, no, he's not. He's out on bail.
If I'm that guy, I don't know what I'm thinking, but I often wonder if people in his situation don't think about fleeing, because there's no way he's not going to go to jail for a long time.
Van Dyke?
Van Dyke.
I don't know, John.
If I'm him and I'm just watching the video, I wasn't there, he was, and if that was my life on the line, my future on the line, I think I would think seriously about this isn't justice for Laquan McDonald. This is just, I don't want to go to jail. I would be so sure that I have to go to jail for a long time that I'm not sure I'm not thinking about shaving my head and moving to somewhere. How certain I am that this guy's guilty.
I hope you never get accused of anything.
I do too.
But you walk around feeling guilty anyway, don't you? That's
I'm a middle child and a Catholic. It's how I get up in the morning. You know what I mean, though?
All I'll say, I know what you're saying. The videotape certainly is clear.
Damning.
Police generally do pretty well at these trials. So, you know, there's that too.
And that's why I'm worried about this thing. Because if this thing, if he is not sent to, you know, and first degree murder is, you know, obviously the most difficult charge to prove. You know, you have to show premeditation and that sort of thing. I was a little surprised that it wasn't a lesser charge. And is it a bench or a jury trial matters too. But I'll tell you what, if he does not go to jail for a pretty good period of time here, we are going to have problems in this city. And I'm not hoping that. I'm not betting on that, but that is my expectation. That is what, if you ask me, what do I think is going to happen? I would say it's going to be a very tense time. That's going to be a tough trial in September. Everybody's going to be going back to school. Our lives are going to be sort of shifting. Maybe you'll lose your attention briefly on this story, but it'll come around to when the verdict is read. And boy, they'd better be ready for that thing. And that guy, I don't know how Jason Van Dyke gets away with this. The officer charged with first-degree murder in McDonald's death, September 5th, just as the mayoral campaign kicks into high gear. A couple of stories we're watching here on WGN. Tom wanted to say something, and I got to reach over here to put you on. Hi, Tom, you're on the air. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, the 16-shot thing is a whole different story, but what I was going to say is, I don't think, you touched on it a little bit, I don't think people realize the split-second decision. All of a sudden, you're a policeman, you're looking at somebody, and it's, I hate to say it this way, but it's me or him. And, you know, shoot, I've heard some situations where the cop sort of waited a couple of seconds, the guy shot the cop, and the guy went out and shot some other people in the area, so I mean, I'm not justifying the cop, but it's a split decision. It's not like, should you sit down and analyze it and then get shot by the other guy?
Yeah.
I mean, but I think people have to walk through that scenario. And I think, if a guy's grabbing something out of his car, are you supposed to walk up to him and find out what he's looking at while he's pointing a gun at and shoot you? So, not an easy thing, but people need to understand that split section type of thing.
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for jumping in here. Jane wanted to say something too. Jane, you're on WGN Radio. What was your thought on that?
I'm very bothered by this idea that we need to automatically shoot to kill. Our police are trained to use a gun. They're accurate. There are a lot of different places on a person's body you can hit to stop them without killing them.
And the cops are not trained to do that. They're not told to do that.
But they used to be. In a different age, they were taught to do that. And their accuracy is significantly better than the person trying to shoot them in most cases. So I just think we've lost our moral compass in all of this. Every religion has a...
That's Jane, and her phone just cut out. Jane, I appreciate your phone call. Here's the prediction from 847. A texter says he, Jason, walks and no one riots. Well, that's my my prayer is that no one riots. But if he walks, I don't see how there is not unrest in the streets. I appreciate your calls and texts. We can pick up another line or two in a minute. By the way, my Saturday producer, Griffin Filipich, just strolled into the studio. Hi, Griffin.
Hi.
You are going to be talking about you and Domiti Pongo are on the air tonight.
Yes, at 11 o'clock.
Ah! What are you guys going to talk about?
I know we're going to talk about Lauryn Hill. She's performing at the Pitchfork Music Festival on Sunday night. She's performing the album Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh, she's doing the whole LP.
The 20th anniversary. Nice. Came out in 1998.
Isn't she a little too mainstream for Pitchfork?
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought Pitchfork was kind of alter.
Well, she's headlining.
Yeah.
So they get the really big people. They still get huge stars to headline.
So you're going
to
ask what album do I want to hear performed all the way through?
Yeah, that's a question I'm interested in. And I also know Domiti. Well, I love it. I know Domiti. Lauryn Hill is his favorite artist. So it seemed like a good place to start.
Hmm.
And yeah, if there is an album by any artist that you would want to see them perform all the way through with no mixing up the songs, straight ahead.
And is this the same question as what's one of the most important albums in your life?
It could be, but it could be different too.
You know, Stevie Wonder did Songs in the Key of Life on tour last year.
Yeah.
That would have been my album. That would have been the concert. I didn't see it.
Where were you?
I was busy that day. Violetta, you got one that sound off on this? No?
I'm not really big into full albums.
Yeah, maybe kind of a dying art form. Although I think streaming has weirdly killed it off and then is now slowly bringing it back. So it's a changing.
That is funny, though, because albums used to be such concept things. And I don't know that it is.
Well, now if you listen to a full album, you know, from start to finish, you're like, oh, that makes sense. Like the songs go in order, normally you just hear snippets and this song and that song.
Violetta. Elif, jump in there.
Hail to the Thief by Radiohead, full album.
Kevin, go.
Well, Led Zeppelin 1, the original, is one of that one probably meant a lot to me in terms of my music world and how I listen to music. But Arcade Fire's The Suburbs is maybe probably my favorite album of all time.
I love it.
Could we do The Carpenters, that one album that was like an envelope and you opened it up and then there was the LP in there?
That sounds great.
See, that's what I like about you. You're not. That was an opportunity for you. Everybody else in this room would have said something snarky just now, but you didn't do that. I think that's nice.
No, I want people to chime in at 11. So, or I think we'll probably talk about that. Yeah, at 11. So
11 o'clock tonight.
You've got 8 hours to prepare your answers.
Producer Griff has an assignment for you. Oh, and real quick, you're also going to talk about what movie again tonight?
Oh, Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah. You've seen that?
Yeah.
And it's pretty good.
It's fantastic.
Rokan, Anna DeVlantis in Studio A. What's coming up, campers?
Hi, John. It's Who, Quadrophenia.
Oh, nice.
Followed by U2, Joshua Tree, Captain Fantastic by Elton John, and the last one, but it's a really close, these four are all great together, Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti.
Prince, Purple Rain.
That would be my number.
Mm-hmm. Purple Rain is nice. That's a nice. Is that the one you want to see him do the whole LP, the whole thing?
Oh God, yeah.
I was reflecting on your choice of the Carpenters album that you described the cover of, and I was thinking maybe go with one you know the title of. That it might be more meaningful, a little more meaningful to you. But that's my only suggestion for people.
Okay, fine. Then back to Songs in the Key of Life. But I think Ro is cheating anyway because he asked for one, and I think I heard four, didn't you?
There were four. I can't give it up. I just want to see that. I saw Songs in the Key of Life. I saw the Stevie Wonder tour.
How was that? Did he do
well? It's such a great album, but I don't think it really worked as a show as well as it does as an album.
Well, that's like one thing to take into consideration too. You love the album, but how will it work live?
Yeah. I mean, and Stevie Wonder could do no wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Amen to that.
But there is, but people are like, hey, play Superstition! So it's like it's not on that album, man.
What are you doing today, Mr. Khan?
All right, we've got George Will joining us in just a few minutes.
Nice.
To talk about the president. He's written a very controversial column today for the Washington Post saying the sad, embarrassing wreck of a man.
Oh, my God. I saw that as a headline. Yeah. I saw it was pushed out. I didn't see the byline. That's George Will?
That's George Will.
Wow.
Can you believe?
The former intellectual conscience of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So, and is really something right there. Mm-hmm. So we
George Will. When's he coming on?
He's coming up in about 20 minutes.
All right. I'm going to get out of the way because you guys got a lot to do.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
appreciate
John.
It.